the everlasting God, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the I am that I am, the one that was before anything was, the one that will be after nothing exists. We praise you, O Lord. We love you, Daddy. We appreciate you, O God. Please accept our thanks in the name of Jesus. Lord, the next few minutes that we will look into your word of life, Father, I ask, O God, that you will speak to every heart in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, your name and your name alone will be praised forever. Lord, touch this tongue of clay, these lips of clay, that it may declare the mysteries of God today in ways that it can be understood by the hearts that are listening in the name of Jesus. Thank you, blessed Redeemer, for in Jesus' precious name I have prayed.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. You may please be seated. Our desire is, as the Lord lives in this house, nobody will have to worry about food in Salvation Center. Nobody. Because the food bank, I'm talking about our food bank now, not San Antonio food bank. Our food bank, God will replenish all the time. And remember, that is not talking about the 1,000 pounds of chicken that we got for free before that. So God is moving, and we'll give him all the glory in the name of Jesus. So today, we're going to, in the next few minutes, talk quickly on the parable of the leaven. The parable of the leaven. The parable of the leaven you find in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 33. We've talked about three parables already: the sower, the wheat and the tares, and the mustard seed. But today we're talking about the parable of the leaven. And it's just one verse, very short parable. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 33. Another parable spake he unto them. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. As we continue to begin to round up with our sermon series, and we talk about this today, the first thing I would like to ask this morning is, how many of us have made homemade bread before? You bake your bread at home. You will know that when you're doing this, you get the flour, you begin to knead the flour, and you add a little something to it for the flour to rise. Anybody know that? Well, the little something you're adding to the flour to rise is what is called yeast. I believe you know that. But what you may not know is that yeast is what the Bible calls leaven. When we were coming on our road trip and we're driving through, I believe it was Mississippi, either Mississippi or Alabama, I saw a big signpost. And it reads, very simply, "When you die, you will see God." And I pondered on this for a long time. When you die, you will see God. It doesn't matter what your views are right now. It doesn't matter what your inclinations are. It doesn't matter what your beliefs are. Oh, I believe some of the Bible. I don't believe all of the Bible. I believe majority of the Bible. I don't believe some of it. In fact, I don't believe the Bible at all. There was somebody that took offense to one of our flyers, and I went to apologize to him. But what I have to say to us this morning is that regardless of your beliefs, when you die, you will see God. And that is why Jesus took time to talk to them about the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. He was telling them about a kingdom that is to come. And he likened it to so many different things. He likened it to a sower. He likened it to another sower that was sowing wheat, and tares decided to grow there. He likened it to a mustard seed, and now is likening it to a leaven. Friends, I don't know what your thoughts are on the kingdom of God, but believe me, when we all die, we will see God. And the kingdom that we are talking about in parables now will become a reality to each and every one of us. In the parable that we have read, three things stand out. Three things. Number one is leaven. Number two is the woman that is applying the leaven. And number three is three measures of flour. Generally in the Bible, when you read about the leaven is always representative of sin. Almost every other place the leaven is mentioned in Scripture, it was in relation to sin, except for here. In the previous parable that we have read, that we have dealt with, we saw that each time Jesus is talking about the kingdom, his illustrations are showing us something that starts little and ends big. The farmer went and sowed seeds. Some fell by the wayside, and some on rocky ground, and some on thorns, and then some on good soil. And the ones that fell on good soil, some produced 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. So he's showing us that when the seed falls on the good ground, it is able to reproduce itself. And he's saying, this is the kingdom of God. When he was talking about the wheat and the tares, he was showing us the impact of the tares on the productive capacity of the wheat. That the wheat will not be able to reproduce as much. And then with the mustard seed, he shows us that this little seed, when it is planted, it has the capacity to become a huge shrub. He's talking about growth. And what I want to say to you this morning before I move further is, as long as you and myself, as long as we are children of God, born again, spirit-filled, our lives cannot remain the same. Of a necessity, there is certain growth and increases that must be added to my life. Why? I am a child of God. The Bible says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measures, pressed down, shaking together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. Praise the Lord. So the fact that I am born again, I have given my life to Christ, my life cannot remain the same again. It's not possible. I want you to lift up your right hand to heaven and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I belong to you. I am yours. Therefore, destroy every stagnancy, every limitation in my life, in my path, in the name of Jesus. If you believe it, shout amen. Amen. Believe me, the plan and the purpose of God for our lives is a plan to increase and make our lives better. I don't know about you, but I take stock of my life. You know, people do New Year, New Resolution and all those kind of things. And then at the end of the year, they look back and they begin to review. If you are looking back at the end of the year, it is too late already. Because at the end of the year, it's all said and done. You must have goals. End of first quarter, you review your plans, the things you said you were going to do. Where are you with your plans? Are you making progress? Are you moving forward? Or are you stagnated at the same point? I curse stagnation in your life. I release you into the freedom and the full potential of God for your life in the mighty name of Jesus. So Jesus began to tell them about the leaven. And what is the leaven? In this scripture that we have read, even though, like I said before, that leaven is something that relates to sin, but in this scripture, it is hard to say that this has to do with sin. Because the kingdom of God is not likened to sin. Praise the Lord. So the leaven here When you add leaven, when you add yeast to flour, what happens? It rises. And when you add it, what do you do? You do a good mix. You do it, and then it begins to rise. That leaven in this text is talking about the gospel, the word of God. When the word of God is introduced into a person's life, that life must increase and must get better. The word of God has the ability to produce in our lives. Some people say, oh, I don't know about all these things, this and that and that and that, and all of this is friends. If you hold on to the word of God has never failed and will never fail. Everywhere the word is preached, there must be growth, there must be increase. There must be a multiplication. It's just a fact of the word. The leaven there is talking about the word of God. It's talking about the word of God. And then it talks about the woman that is applying the leaven to ensure that it permeates the whole flour to cause an even spread and even rise. The woman there represents the church. I'm going somewhere with this. The woman represents the church. That is why you and I, as believers, if we are not propagating the gospel and spreading the leaven, spreading the yeast into the world, perhaps that is why there's no increase in our lives. Jesus told them very clearly, told the disciples, Matthew chapter 28. He said, go ye therefore, Matthew 28 and verse 19, go ye therefore into all nations, making disciples of them. Jesus expects you and I, as members of the body of Christ, to go forth and share the gospel that has been preached to us. Preach it to others. It will amaze you if I say by a show of hands, how many people have won one soul to Christ this year. I wonder how many hands I will have up. I'm saying one. I'm not saying five. The church today has gone to sleep. What we focus on most in the church today is ourselves. If the sermon is not telling me how I can make more money or how my life can be more joyful, then you can forget about it. But you see, true joy comes from preaching the gospel. I give you a very good example, at least that relates to my life. When I came to the United States of America, and I just didn't know where to plug myself in or how to plug myself in, I decided to join the military. While I was in basic training, it was like hell on earth. I'm like, Adekoye, what have you done? How did you get yourself to this? I was having nightmares. In fact, it got so bad that one day I went to report myself to the chaplain's office. I said, sir, I am going crazy. I need to leave this place. You can laugh. Don't worry. I know you have your own stories to tell too. But it was that bad for me. It was really bad. I told him, I said, Mr. Chaplain, sir, I think it was a major or captain. I forgot what he was. I told him I wanted out, that I'm leaving, because that was the procedure. You go to the chaplain. I told him I was losing my mind. I was with a bunch of 18, 19-year-olds. At this time, I was 35. A professor from the premier university in Nigeria. You don't carry resume to that place. It will make you sicker. Anyway, so I told him, I said, I can't handle this. I can't deal with this anymore. One night, when I woke up in the middle of the night, the Holy Spirit laid on my heart that while they are working on my paperwork, I should start sharing Jesus with those guys. Do you know it was not long on Sundays when they are supposed to go to the chapel, everybody congregates in my room. So let's go to Sonny's room for church. I became their local pastor in basic training. And that was the end of my nightmares. And from that day, and I tell you the truth, I lie not. From that day, the things that were challenging for me, you know, I mean, I came to America with a big old pot belly, you know, been eating all the everything that I've been eating that made me very well-rounded. You know, I had my very heavy one pack. You know, I mean, I was looking good for an African man. Praise the Lord. Looking really good. You know, big cheeks. I mean, everywhere was, I was good. But that night, so I had a lot of challenges. I couldn't run. By the time they are running, they put me in special populations to catch up with it. I mean, it was bad. So many things depressing. But I tell you the truth, from that night, when I had that voice and I began to preach to those guys, number one, I started losing weight for many reasons. I didn't know the food. I couldn't request anything. So many days I went hungry anyway, you know. And then my ability to run started increasing. There was a young lady that said she was an atheist in the group, you know. And I kept encouraging. I said, I believe God. I don't know what nonsense you're talking about. And this God is going to help me. And the next race we ran, I did well, and they removed me from special pops. The girl and I were in special pops. I graduated to the regular population. So when I left special pops, they started paying attention to me. By the time we finished basic training, this young lady told me, said, "Sonny, you know what?" I said, "What?" She said, "I prayed to God today. I prayed to God today." Friends, part of the reason why we seem to be struggling so much is because we have left the very reason God saved us in the first place. You and I, as the members of the church, we need to carry the yeast and spread the yeast in our community and spread the yeast in our environment. And as we do this, the things that are challenging for you in your personal life, you begin to see a change in the name of Jesus. Number three, we see the three measures of meal. The meal represents the world, obviously, from everything that I've said, the foregoing. The leaven is the word of God, the gospel. The woman is the church. And the meal that you are spreading the yeast in is the world. I tell you, I just want us to take a second look at the parable very quickly so that you and I can see ourselves from the perspective of the Word of God. We can see ourselves from the light of the Word of God. Because of a truth, one day you and I, we will face God. One day you and I will be face to face, eyeball to eyeball. This is not in a vision or in a dream, but eyeball to eyeball, we're going to see God. And when we see Him, what will our story be? Haven't done that. Like I said before, leaven in Scripture represents sin. Which Scripture or where do I see this that the Bible tells us about leaven being sin? Listen to me, there's a leaven that has leavened the church in a negative sense today. One of the reasons that people don't believe our message anymore is because they have exact alternatives for the message that we have for them. For example, you're telling somebody how they can be happier with their life. You say, "Well, anytime I watch Oprah, in fact, my joy is full." Or I listen to Dr. Phil and I get a lot of counsel from him. Or my psychologist tells me what you are telling me right now. But that is not the message of Christ. That's not the message of Christ. That's absolutely not the message of Christ. Let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 16. We'll read two verses there. Matthew 16, verses 6 and 12. Matthew 16, verses 6 and 12. 6 and 12. You can leave the 12. Okay, that's okay. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Listen, this is Jesus speaking. He's saying, beware, watch out for the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The question you must ask yourself, if you are like me, is, what is the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Open to Luke chapter 12 and verse 1. Luke chapter 12 and verse 1. In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they rode one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is what? Hypocrisy. The leaven of the Pharisee is hypocrisy. Anywhere there is hypocrisy, you will have false hope and false confidence. And in the church today, there's a lot of hypocrisy. Who is a hypocrite? A hypocrite is someone that appears to be something that they are not really. A hypocrite is someone that is mad at you, but will smile with you. And then when they leave you, you say, look at him, stupid boy. He was just smiling with you. He was just upbeat with you. Oh, hello, oh, brother, oh, sister, oh, this and that and such and such. But as soon as you turn, in fact, they don't wait until you leave. It's just that you don't have eyes in the back. If you had eyes in the back, you would have noticed that when you turned your back, they went. Is that an African thing? Yeah? When they do that, it means whatever they said to you before, they didn't believe it. And Jesus deemed it important. Listen to this. When Jesus is given a warning, it will be foolhardy for us not to pay attention. Because he's the king of the kingdom. So if he's saying that, watch out for such and such, he says, oh no, don't worry, it's okay. I can pretend, that's fine. You see, the problem with hypocrisy is the person you are pretending to be and others are accepting, the real person that is important to know who you are, he knows exactly who you are. And that is God. So, you can fool me, you can fool everybody, but you don't fool God. I don't fool God. I can fool the church. I can pretend to be something to the church, but God knows who I am. And that is the important thing to know. That is the one that needs to know. Jesus. And he already knows. Said, watch out, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. A hypocrite is a person who acts in contradiction to his or her stated beliefs or feelings. So, as a believer, as a born-again child of God, if my lifestyle does not match my confession, I'm a hypocrite. If what I confess, I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, by the blood of the Lamb, I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Okay. Does your life show that you are redeemed? It says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Am I redeemed and telling lies? Am I redeemed and committing fornication? Am I redeemed and taking bribes? Am I redeemed and doing immoral things that does not glorify God? So, the plan of God for the lives of believers is a life of increase and multiplication. I believe you are beginning to see where the problems come from. We say one thing, but we leave another. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. I'm going to have to skip a number of things now. What are some consequences of hypocrisy? The life of a hypocrite is a lie, and the outcome is not good. Job chapter 8, verse 13. Job chapter 8 and verse 13. It says, so are the paths of all that forget God, but that's not where I'm going. And the hypocrite's hope shall perish. The hope of the hypocrite shall perish. You know why? The reason people pretend to be one thing that they are not is because they are expecting some kind of advantage or benefit that is not due them. And the Bible says, I believe in Proverbs, it says the mouth of the hypocrite brings destruction. It said, but knowledge, the knowledge of the truth will vindicate the righteous. Because you can hide for so many years. One day the truth will come out. Amen? There's nothing that can be hidden forever. One day the truth will jump out. So we must be careful. Job chapter 20 verse 5. Job chapter 20 and verse 5. The Bible says that the triumphing of the wicked is short, and the joy of the hypocrite is but for a moment. Let's be real. You know, I remember this was 92 and 94. In 1992, I went to meet my pastor. He's been here before, Pastor Kabil, you know. I went to meet him, and I went to report myself. You know, because everybody was calling me, Brother Koye. I was becoming a leader rapidly. I'm like, this thing cannot work like this. Because my conscience was pricking me. So one day I went to meet him. I said, sir, there's something I have to tell you, sir. I'm not exactly the Brother Koye that is famed. You know, and I, you know, exposed some dirty linen. I know you are itching to hear, and I will not tell you. Because you know your own dirty linen too. You can tell yourself your own. You know, so I told him, as soon as I told him, the man was like, You know, he said, but why? I said, I'm sorry, sir. It's not, I don't want to do it. But this is what I find myself doing. But you know what? The moment I spoke it out and I spoke about it, I couldn't go back to it again. That was me. It might be different for some other people. But the moment I told on myself, how will I be able to face him and say, that thing I told you, I did it again. The Bible says, confess your sins one to another. That's how God wants us to live. So if I know I am accountable to you, I have to, every time I speak about you behind your back, I have to tell you, oh, Brother Debo, I did it again. In fact, I just maligned you very terribly. I said, you know, I said, okay, I forgive. I said, I'm sorry. I said, I forgive you. So 2 days later, I come back. Brother Debo, I don't know what you have done to me, but every time I talk about you, it's just evil behind your back. Then you think I will continue going back and forth? After a while, you just put a lock on your mouth by yourself. Once they mention his name, say, Say, what do you think? No opinion. So I stopped that. But 2 years later, I found myself in another hole. But this time, I called the assistant pastor and the senior pastor. I sat both of them down, and I've repented, Mommy. It's not like that anymore. She's feeling very sorry for me. So I went and I told them again. In fact, the senior pastor was like, why are you telling us these things? Why don't you just keep your sin to yourself and let it bite you and eat you and just... that was pretty much what he didn't say it like that. But it was like, you could see the disgust in his face. Why are you telling us? Why don't you just go and deal with your own sin and just leave us out of it? But you see, once you speak it out, you take power from the devil. You take power from that spirit. But for as long as you are pretending and hiding behind one finger, really, because immorality stinks,
People can smell it. They don't know what it is about you, but they just know there's something about you that is not very attractive to them. Praise the Lord. What must I do? What is the solution? The solution is very simple. I don't have to pretend. You know, if people think I'm this anointed, powerful man of God and I'm not, just tell them simply, I'm not that powerful man of God that you think I am. Because in my own case, I wanted them to pray for me. At least when they know I'm in trouble, they can pray. But when they think I'm one serious brother that can pray in tongues and do all of these things, I was in evangelism, I was in the choir, I was everywhere. And so everybody thought I was fine, but I was not fine. And it was important to me that the people that had watch over me, it was important to me that they know that I'm not well. It's not all well with me. So they can pray the right kind of prayer for me. The solution is simple. Just be yourself. Be yourself. Tell on yourself. Find an accountability partner that you can confess your sins one to another and you can pray for one another. Be careful who you tell your story. Praise the Lord. Be careful who you tell your story before your story becomes breaking news. Leaven is likened to hypocrisy. Leaven is also likened to malice and wickedness. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, 6 to 8. But I'm just going to jump to verse 8. Verse 8 says, therefore, let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice. What is malice? Hatred, meanness, nastiness. Let us not keep the feast with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. This is one of the reasons we use unleavened bread for the communion. Praise the Lord. Be sincere. Be honest. Be truthful to yourself. Be real. The Bible says we are already accepted in the beloved. We are already accepted. If we are not about to be accepted, as long as I am born again, I am already accepted. I'm acceptable to Christ. There's a song we were playing in the vehicle as we were coming to church this morning. It said, I am not finished yet, but it's getting better. Praise the Lord. God is not done with me yet. I mean, you can still see some flaws in some areas, but I'm getting better day by day. I'm not pretending about it. I'm not making believe to people about my life, but God is working on me and is getting better daily in the name of Jesus. There's a quote I put on Facebook recently, and I'm going to read to you. You see, because many of us, you know, we all come to church, we dress fancy, we're looking good, you know, nice car, beautiful home, wife, everything. That's good. But everybody knows where the shoe is pinching them. You know, many of us, our story is rise and fall, rise and fall. You rise, but you find yourself going back to where you fell from. But today the Lord will deliver. The Lord will uphold you. The Lord will strengthen you in the name of Jesus. Every leaven of hypocrisy, every leaven of malice, every leaven of wickedness, the Lord will remove. The Lord will destroy in the mighty name of Jesus. Listen to this. No matter how many times you fall down, pick yourself up and keep going. This may sound too simplistic, but it is really essential. Until you, listen to this, this is the key. Until you commit to keep going, you will always entertain the option of quitting after a failure. Many people have left the faith because they have convinced themselves nobody can live like this. This holiness thing is not working. Nobody can do it. But people are living it. People are living it. Until you commit to keep going,
pressing forward, getting better day by day, until you are committed to that, you will always have an open option of giving up after you have failed. You may not be standing right today, but you can still stand better tomorrow. You can start strong tomorrow. And you can still finish very well tomorrow by the grace of God, starting from today, in the mighty name of Jesus. I want you to please rise to your feet. There's a song we used to sing back in the day, very simple song. Come into my heart, come into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today, come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Take it one more time.
Come into my heart. Come into my heart.
Come in, Lord.
Come into my heart, Lord Jesus.
Come in
today. Come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus.
Why don't you pray for yourself in 1 minute? And say, Father, come into my heart and destroy every root of bitterness, every root of malice, every root of wickedness, every root of hypocrisy. Father, destroy in my life, O God, that my life may advance forward with you in the name of Jesus. That my life may show forth your glory in all that I do. I refuse and I reject hypocrisy in my life in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I will shine for you. I will show forth your praise in the name of Jesus. I reject malice. I reject wickedness in the name of Jesus. But Lord, my life rather will honor you in the name of Jesus. Thank you, blessed Redeemer, for in Jesus' precious name I have prayed. Amen. Father, we thank you. Jehovah, we praise you. We give you praise. We give you glory. Lord, you are a perfect God that is seeking to mature us to perfection. Father, I pray that this morning, you know the rough edges in our lives. You know where we are falling short. You know those easily besetting sins in our lives. Father, in the name of Jesus, please empower us today that, Lord, we may live above the power of sin. That sin will not have dominion over our lives in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, you took time to talk about this matter of the kingdom from the beginning of your ministry. You said, repent, for the kingdom is at hand. Lord, this matter of the kingdom is important and serious with you. And therefore, Lord, we take it seriously. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, from today, oh Lord, you will wash us clean by the blood of Jesus. Lord, you will purge us clean by the blood of Jesus. That, Lord, we may live for you to show forth your praise. That, Lord, if men are looking for Jesus, may they find you in us. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, blessed Redeemer, for in Jesus' precious name I have prayed. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the service today. Thank you for how far you have helped us. Lord, as we bring the service to a close, we ask, O God, that, Lord, your presence will continue with us. Lord, the words that we have had today, you will continue to expound in every heart by your Spirit, in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, blessed Redeemer. We commit the week ahead into your hands. Let it please take preeminent control. Let your name be glorified. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, blessed Redeemer, For in Jesus' precious name, I have prayed. Amen. Let's share the grace together in fellowship.